Hi, everybody. Let's give everybody a moment. Good to see you guys. I feel like I've seen a lot of you on video. Calvin, I still haven't seen you on video. I'm hoping one of these days I'll get to see you. Oh, there you are. Hi. Even on Facebook, I haven't seen a picture of you. So it's nice to see you in almost real life. All right, let's get started. So let's take a moment and just get centered. I'm just turning my email off so there's no dinging. Okay, let's take a moment. Can you guys see me or no? Oh, okay, now you can see me. Sorry about that. All right. Let's take a moment and get centered and settled. And wherever you are, if you can close your eyes, take a moment and close your eyes. If you're somewhere where you can't close your eyes, just go inwards, close the outer shades of your eyes. And take a moment to settle in, feeling your seat beneath you. With each breath, bring yourself more fully present to our time together today. Really gathering all of the parts of yourself that you may have left, different moments today, just really gathering yourself here, inhaling and opening up as you bring yourself forward, and exhaling and releasing. Inhaling and exhaling, really using the breath to bring yourself fully present, to gather yourself here, and to connect with yourself. To connect with your body. Inhaling, opening up, exhaling, letting go. And as you breathe in this way, I invite you to tune in to the moon. Even if you've never tuned in to the energy of the moon, or even if you don't know what that means, it's okay. I invite you to tune into the energy of the moon. The moon right now is in its last phases before being new again. It's at the end of its cycle. And at this time of month, it's the time where the moon is releasing. We see less and less and less of it in the sky. It's letting go. And so we can mirror that energy and that power. We can kind of harness it. And so I invite you to attune to this energy that the moon is holding for us right now of letting go, of releasing what is no longer serving. We all have something that we're holding on to, clinging on to, that's no longer serving. Maybe it's a habit. Maybe it's a type of pattern, a thing that we do, a relationship, an object, a belief. What is it for you? What is it that you're currently holding on to, clinging on to, that is ready to be released, that is ready to be let go of? And why is it valuable or important for you to let go of this thing? Just make note. And then together we'll take a nice deep breath in. And exhale everything out with a sigh. And then allowing your eyes to flutter open, bringing yourself fully present to our time together today. Okay, so first thing, I just want to tell you guys, I think some of you know, I'm out of my house because we're doing kitchen renovation. And one of the reasons why I decided to move out of the house was so that I wouldn't hear, you know, calls would be quiet. There wouldn't be like work happening. They're doing work in the apartment that we moved into today, like literally on the roof on top of me. They're on lunch break right now. And I'm hoping they're just not going to come back after lunch. But if they do, I'm going to have to go back and hide in the kids' bedroom, which means that I'm just gonna like turn the camera off because it's a mess in there. So if that happens, that is why. And I'm so sorry about that. So I'll never a dull moment. Anyway, all that being said, I'm so excited for our call today. We've got a Q&A call today, and this is opportunity for you to bring forward any questions that you have that are either related to work that you're doing with clients. Maybe you're working with a client and you feel stuck, or maybe not even stuck, but you feel like we're getting somewhere, but I feel like we could get deeper and you want to noodle into that. This is a great opportunity to bring that forward. If you're working with a group and you have questions on curriculum or holding the group in a certain way or certain anything that's happening with a group, this is a wonderful opportunity to bring that forward. If you have questions on the business end of things, so if you are just getting ready to do outreach, for example, and you need some support either on strategy or getting over fear for that, this is the place to bring that forward. If you've got a question, if you're doing a bigger marketing strategy, if it's, you know, you've been doing individual outreach and you're looking for other ideas, or you have questions on that, or questions on your messaging, or anything like that, this is the place. If you know you've got some inner pieces that you need to look, you know what your action steps are, but you've got inner pieces to look at, this is the place for that too. So in a moment, I'll open up for questions. But before I do, I want each of you to take a moment, and you're all in different places, and that's great. But wherever you're at, what is it that is most important for you to receive from our call today? Whether you end up asking a question or not, but what is it that you really want to receive from our call today in order to move you forward, either in your client work or on the business end of things, or both? Get clear on that for yourself. And then with that, I'll open up for Q&A. You can raise your hand, and I'll just remind you, like I do at the beginning of every Q&A call, I always like to say this because it's important. Feel free to bring forward whatever it is that you need. Don't worry if it's not applicable to the group. If it truly isn't applicable and it isn't the right place, I'll let you know. But what we're all going to do is we hear each person come forward, and being coached is use the law of adaptation. And what that is whether they're in the same phase of business as you or not, or in work with clients or not, or different type of work, you listen for what is important for you. I promise you, if you stay present and use law of adaptation, you will find inspiration and not wisdom and what you need for you in all of it. I may at some point pace. I've told you guys that before. Sometimes I can coach from sitting in one place, but sometimes I need to walk around. So if I get up, that's what's going on. Stephanie.
Hi, Joanna. So I had a coaching session with a client earlier today. And something came up that I was really glad that this was happening this afternoon so I could bring it here. So it became clear, like in early on in the session, the client identified some fears that they had. Namely, it was fears around making mistakes, fears of doing the wrong thing, that sort of thing. And so I was like, okay, this is perfect. Like, this is an opportunity to really practice the befriend your fear process. And so I did it in the way that I have always done it, but it seems like he was having a really hard time getting out of his head and into his body. Like, I kept trying to bring him back and he'd be like, no, I don't really feel anything, or like maybe a little something there. And like, I would try to follow that, but he kept popping up into his head and basically describing like things that he does when he's feeling that way, as if he was talking about something in the past. And we eventually got somewhere and it seemed productive, but I just wondered like what to do in those situations where it feels like there's a lot of resistance or just like an inability to go there.
Yeah, that's a great question. First of all, good work on getting there anyway, right? And sometimes it will take a little bit longer. It's not, like I always say, it's an art, it's not a science, you know? And so it sounds like you are doing all the right things. You got there, you know, and right, like there's flexibility, but there are some things that you can do to support when that comes up. So number one, you can just speak directly to the resistance, right? And have a conversation about that first. So I notice, for example, I noticed that it's hard for you to connect in to your body. That's totally normal. A lot of people have trouble connecting into their body, but usually when that happens, it's because there's either something that you're maybe scared of looking at, or it feels safer being in your head and talking about the things that you already know. I just wanted to check in on that. You know, what about that lands for you and what are you seeing there, right? And so you can open up a conversation about that. And oftentimes just speaking to the resistance and about the resistance can support a client to be able to go in more. So that's one piece. Another, if that still doesn't move things along, another thing that you can do is take it out of the visualization in the body and into other places, right? So it might be just like, what does it look like, right? They don't even have to close their eyes. It can be a regular conversation. What does it look like? What would it say if, right? So, you know, for people that just are, it's hard for them in that moment or ever to close their eyes and go in, you can do that. Remember, we did the exercise with the drawing. Sometimes drawing it first can help get in there. So there's lots of different ways to do that. Is that helpful?
Yeah. And actually that's sort of where we ended up, is he eventually was like, I'm getting an image, like all of his stuff that he was talking about is like, oh, I can see it. I can see it. If he didn't say, I think, he was saying, I see. So we went into basically a visualization and that's where stuff really started to come up. Mm-hmm. So yeah, trying not to like feel like I was doing it wrong because he couldn't get in his body, or like, but I like what you said about just naming that people can have trouble with it, because it is really common.
Yeah, sometimes when you just pre-frame on that, it helps the resistance. And then the other piece always, whether it's this technique or anything that we're doing, and I know you know this, but just a reminder for all of us, practitioners, we never want to become attached to outcome, right? The second we become attached to like, this is the technique that has to work, or it has to look this way, or he has to be able to see this or that or the other thing, is the moment that we've stopped being present with the client. mm-hmm. you know? And it's like, we have this other agenda going on, and oftentimes it's about our own ego, you know, whatever it is. But if you stay present and you don't get attached to how it needs to look, you'll always find the right solution and the alternative. And it sounds like you did.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Great question. Corinne.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
So I had a great experience with befriending your fear too in a sales call.
Yay. Oh, that's just great. I'm glad you applied it to a sales call. That's
right.
Awesome.
It was a close. So yeah.
It can that was magical. Awesome. In the right situation, it can be magical.
Right. And I'm just curious, you said you were going to share a document on how to take that into a group with us?
Just by the way, for anyone that isn't in the advanced program, Karin is asking a question.
Oh,
we didn't.
Sorry.
In case there are people that are confused.
Okay.
The team should have popped that into the member center.
Okay, I didn't even look there. Didn't even occur to me to look there.
Yeah. I'll also follow up with them, but it should be in the member center there for you. I'm just taking
notes. Very cool. So my question for today is that we're in the middle of launching the Meet Your Dragon webinar, which is happening next week, right? And let me phrase my question. We're launching the webinar, and in the webinar, we'll be announcing the 7-week Face Your Dragon training, which is like a 7-week course. Mm-hmm. But we're not even talking about that until after the webinar has happened, right? So all the promotion right now is like, come to this free online training. It's 90 minutes, right?
If you're going to mention it in the webinar itself.
We are going to talk about it in the webinar. It's like a little 5 minutes blurb at the end. And then after the webinar, we are going to start to promote the 7-week course. So I've got a bunch of affiliates, and I'm kind of been doing the things that I am doing. And I'm like, I'm looking for like, where's the magic sauce? Like, how do I reach more people? Like if I'm working with the numbers, looking at how many people do I need to sign up for the webinar? And then I know that not all is going to show up, but then what's the conversion rate into the 7-week training?
Yeah.
Which is where the actual transformational possibilities are happening, but also where the income will come from.
A couple of things, and then maybe we tell me if I'm answering, and then if not, we can kind of get more focused in. But just first and foremost, I think I heard you say you were going to speak about the 7-week for 5 minutes on the webinar.
Maybe 10.
Yeah, I'd say at least 10.
Okay. All right.
So this is important. I know, and I just want to say, even though I teach sales, I am not immune to feeling uncomfortable when making sales in that way. And like, oh, it's gonna take up too much time, and they're gonna be upset because they can't, like all the things. I understand the fear and the discomfort. You guys have been beautifully putting out so much information about this webinar. I looked at the opt-in page last night. It is amazing. It's going to be amazing. You're doing, at least what I can see on the opt-in page, exactly what you should be doing in a preview, which is that you're explaining what the dragon is, why it's so important, how it can impact you. You're really activating all the gap in the vision.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It is so natural then, and I actually think it is your responsibility then to share how they can now unlock and harness and leverage the dragon. And that's through this 7-week program. Don't skimp on the call to action, because you're going to have a captive audience of aligned people. If they're hanging on that preview call to when you get to making sales, of course not all of them are going to buy it. Of course one or two are going to be annoyed that you're selling. you'll survive that, right? But this is your captive audience. You've put so much work. A lot of times in business, what we can sometimes do is we put so much work into something, and then in the last moment, we don't follow through to actually make it count, you know? And I want you to make this count. So I want you to really think through, what's your partner's name, David?
David.
I want you to really think through with David what you want to say in this call to action, and take the time. Don't be afraid. Everybody has in the member center, there's a training that's specifically on calls to action in preview calls. So if you want to go and listen to that too, that will be helpful. And what I found is something that really helps me energetically, and it also helps me feel more like in integrity, is at the beginning of a preview presentation like this is, when I just introduce the topic we're looking at, whatever, I always say already in the beginning, you know, we have an hour today or 90 minutes, however long it is, and I'm going to give you so much, but this is such a big topic. Some of you are going to want to go deeper. If that's you, at the end of our time together today, I'll be sharing an opportunity on how we can take this deeper, right? So for me, that just gives me more permission to be fully in the call to action at the end. And it also lets people know where I'm not pulling anything on the, like I'm already letting them. And it is true, there's just so much that you can accomplish in an hour or 90 minutes, however long. Yeah. So that's one big piece that I think is going to help with conversions. You're putting all of this effort into the preview, make it really count, you know. And I would give an extra special something, like for the people that are there live, that register in the next day or two. You know what I always tell people, and again, like not to be salesy, I just say like, sometimes people need incentive, you know, it's like your heart is ready, but you're going to go in your loops. So I'm giving this incentive. And quite frankly, it helps me not like be wondering, you know, when are you going to sign up? So I'm just always transparent and honest. And, you know, when I do things like that, from there, from the call itself, at least in the first email that you send out to everybody that's registered, include the recording of that call, because, you know, a lot of people don't show up for free things these days, and a lot of people don't listen to the recording. But even if that gets like 3 or 4 or 5 more people to actually connect with you and David in this deeper way by listening to the recording, the whole call is going to prep them for the sale. So, you know, see if you can still catch people on the other end. And then do the rest of the sales emails and sequences from there. I'm going to pause there because I just gave you a lot. Tell me what you're hearing, and then what else are you needing?
What I'm hearing is don't skimp on the sales pitch. That really, it's my responsibility to let them know about the transformational power that's going to happen in the 7-week course, and that the webinar is going to give you a taste of it, give you definitely some good things to work with, but it's in the 7-week that the juice is going to happen, and how dare I not let them know?
Yes.
Right? And to pre-frame that I am going to tell you about it towards the end, and then give some kind of incentive to sign up now. We have a $100 discount. So we're doing the webinar on like Wednesday, we're doing an encore on Saturday, and then we're sending out the recording after the one on Saturday. We're just going to pick that whichever's best. And then the $100 incentive is good for like another day.
Yeah.
Is that enough for an incentive, or does there need to be something that ends like sign up today and it's gone by tomorrow, or that would complicate it for me?
That's for early decision people. Yeah. It sounds like they have 3 days from the first time that you're doing it. I think that's great. The important piece is once it's done, to get it off the sales page so that people don't go to it and they're like, could have gotten it for cheaper, but I didn't.
You know, right. Kind of right.
If you guys haven't done a little, if you want like a Facebook Live before the preview call, just to see if you can catch more people into the preview call.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And you can also do Facebook Lives into the program itself afterwards. So.
What do you mean? Like to do a Facebook Live?
So do a short Facebook Live into the preview call, like 3 minute, 5 minute, you know, something that's alluring about the dragon and learn more about the dragon and, you know, that kind of thing. And then here, but also once the preview call is done and you're in the regular like sales for the program, you and David could do an extended Facebook Live that could even take most of the pieces from the preview call in and do it as a live.
Got it.
Have some more people that way.
Right. Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Inbal is saying the other thing is to do the call to action before the very end of the preview call. And that's exactly right. So this is for everybody. When you do a call to action in a preview call, you don't want it to be the very last thing because it's easy for people to drop off. You want it to be like the penultimate thing. People still know that they have Q&A or there's one more piece about the dragon that you might be mentioning at the end. Mm-hmm. And people hang on.
Great. Great info. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's so exciting. Good.
Thank you, Joanna.
You're welcome. Swati.
Hey, so in the last CMC call, I think we talked about like what our goals were. And if we're beginners, you know, what do we want to accomplish in terms of getting clients? And so I, you know, wrote down, I would like to get to clients by the end of the year. So kind of wanted a little bit of like strategy in terms of outreach and also kind of struggling with time too. You know, it's like, do I actually have the bandwidth? What do? I just started a full-time job. So a little bit of that would be helpful.
Thanks. Yeah. Great question. I'm so glad that you're looking to do outreach even with the job, and the time piece is for real. So I think the first question is realistically, and when I say realistically, I mean realistically also taking into consideration giving yourself time and space, right? How many hours a week do you feel you have to do outreach, you know, to work on your coaching business?
Yeah, I feel like during the week I might have like an hour, and then maybe a couple of hours on the weekend.
Yeah, great. That's all you need to start doing outreach and working with people. So you're good there. I'm going to give you a couple of small pieces to think about, but also, and I know you're short on time, but just to say you have, you may have already listened to it. There's a recording. I think it's two. It's a two-set record, so two-session recording that's called How to Get Clients to Your Retreats and Workshops. I also apply strategies to one-on-one work, and I go like step by step, and there's templates. So you'll get the full information there, and anyone... you know, I recommend it to you, Swati, and anyone who's either starting to look for clients or even just wants to kind of up your game. It's two 90-minute sessions, but it's worth listening to all the strategies. But in a nutshell for now, just make this simple. The recordings are simple too. Make a list of, I want you to make two lists. The first list is of people that you know that might be a great fit to be coached. And oftentimes when I invite people to do this, sometimes it's like, but I don't know anybody. And usually that's because there's fear of reaching out to people. So I want to invite you to challenge yourself. Like, even if it feels scary, like, who do you know? And it's not going to be your best friends, right? Or your brother, you know, it'll probably be a little, maybe a little once removed, or somebody that you don't know as well, right? But are there people? My guess is there's one, or at least one or two people. And then the second list are, who could you reach out to that would know people? That would be a good fit. That should be a much longer list.
Okay.
So, and then these are, the first step is to start to reach out to these people. It would be a little bit different, the first category, than the second category. You know, the first category, and there are templates along with that recording that I shared, so go and look. But the first category, we never want to be markety, you know, markety speak, just really casual, like, you may or may not know, I've started my coaching business, I'm getting certified, and this is the type of person that I love to work with. And, you know, these are the types of things that we work on. And I'm so excited because I'm opening up two spots to work with clients. And you came to mind because, right? And just share why they came to mind, why you think that they might really benefit. And then here's, I always say, like, this is the magic phrase. Would it make sense for us to connect on this? The reason why I love that, would it make sense for us to connect on this, is you're not saying, let's hop on a call. You know, it's like you're asking in just a respectful way, like, would it make sense? I would love to. And, you know, we can connect for a call and we could take a look at where you're at and what your goals are and how I might be able to help. You know, let me know. And that's it. Short and sweet. And then the second letter, there's a template for that too, but it's along the same lines, but it's more asking, do you know anyone? So I always recommend starting, there's other marketing that you can do, but I always like to think of, like, you know, to use the apple picking metaphor, like, let's pick the apples that are easiest to pick first. And those are the people that are in your circles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, thank you so much for that. And a quick follow-up on that, like, regarding pricing, like, you know, would I consider these like my practice clients, you know, or like, how do I kind of approach that?
Yeah, so there's, you've got a couple of options. So one option, absolutely, you can charge if you want to, and you should charge, and you can charge whatever you want, right? Whatever feels like a good energetic exchange for you. So, you know, you can say, because this is my first few clients, it's at a very special rate, you know, and just let them know that up front. That's one way you can go. Sometimes some people don't feel comfortable charging first few clients, or it feels scary. And so you can, I like to, if you want to go that route, you can think of it as a testimonial client, right? So you can let them know, you know, I'm not going to be charging you because you're one of my first few clients. But if at the end of our work together, it's something that you valued, I would love for you to write a testimonial for me. You know, there are some business coaches that are going to say, charge out the gate, charge premium rates, you know, all the thing. That's not my philosophy. I want you to just have the opportunity to have the clients and to start to feel comfortable, because that will build confidence to charge more and more and more. So whatever feels right for you to be able to take those first steps.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And there's some great comments in the chats too, so make sure you read them. I'm so glad people are commenting in the chats. Kara.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
So this is probably a big question, but I'm just looking for the next work, and it might be more inner work. So I'm in the midst of 6-month program. I've run it a few times now, and the beginning of the program is all about helping people figure out their stories. And then the second part of the program is about like creating the about me and creating your process and creating your sales page. And there's just like a heaviness that I feel around this part of the journey, in a way that I find people get really stuck and resistant, and that I kind of like launch into the trenches with them. Like, I'm going to save you. We're going to do this. And it's getting me to the point where I don't feel excited about teaching that. And there's part of me that's like, just wondering, I mean, it's sort of the sell, right? Like the output is the sell, and like what makes the program so appealing for many people. But it's getting to the point where it's like, I don't even want to do that part anymore. And so I'm kind of interrogating, is the problem, I think probably more of the problem is the getting into the trenches piece. And that I might enjoy it more if I didn't do that, more so than like, I should just offer the story part and like only, and not take it to the end. So as I say that, I think it's some inner work on getting into the trenches with people.
Yeah. I think there's some strategic pieces too. We'll get afterwards. But yeah, first let me reflect back what I'm hearing. What I'm hearing is the second part of the program, where it comes to the actual writing and the doing, that's where people get kind of all up in arms and a lot of the fear comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that happens, somehow for you, you move out of like teacher, coach, facilitator, supporter role, and into like, I'm going to carry you on my shoulders and almost do this for you role.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And what I'm also hearing, I think, tell me if I'm getting this right, is one of the reasons why you are doing this is because you feel that people are investing in the program in order to have that result.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't carry them on your shoulders to the result, what? Can you tell me? Then what?
Then it didn't work. There's a certain approach that I have in inviting people to source everything, most things from their own journey. And there's some disbelief that people can have that like their story can do that for them. Yeah. So that, and because it's sort of a new approach to it, there's this like, oh, maybe it doesn't work for everyone.
Maybe you're what?
False advertising.
Yeah. So first of all, I just want to say, I love that you're questioning that, right? It shows that you're a practitioner and a marketer of integrity, right? You don't want to be false. So there's actually nothing wrong with questioning it and making sure, right, that you're being in integrity. I think what happens that, we could call it a problem, is when you fall into then being in the trenches and this incredible energetic output.
Mm-hmm.
Where in your life do you know this feeling of I'm not going to be good unless I pull the other person along, or if I don't take over responsibility here, I have failed?
The first, I'm sure there's something younger, but the first thing that comes to mind is in my relationship with my brother, who's bipolar schizophrenic. And this, and I've come a long way with him in the last year alone, but there's, yeah, the codependence of like, gut, I have to fix things for him because it's so hard where he's at.
Yeah, I can tell that you really feel the weight of that and the burden of that. And it's like, when you're in this situation with clients, if that all of that gets transposed into your business. Mm-hmm. What is the higher truth here about taking responsibility?
I'm thinking about, I mean, I'm just on the heels of this learning with my brother where I actually had to verbalize to him what I would, that I wouldn't support him financially anymore. And what I'm taking from that is the importance of speaking boundaries into being more explicitly. And it's so interesting. Just even now, he asked me to send him a bunch of stuff that's like sitting in our garage. And I'm like, okay, well, I have this size box and I will put what I can fit into this size box. And that's a powerful metaphor. Like, you have a 45-minute session with me, right? I'm not gonna like edit before or after. We're just gonna do what we can do in the session. And then I'm gonna trust you to take it from there.
Yes, 100%, right? I love that metaphor. And just to deepen it even more, in what ways have you done your brother a disservice by taking over responsibility for him?
Mm-hmm. I haven't let him be completely free to live the life that he wants to live, unmedicated. That is like truly what he wants more than stability. He wants that freedom. And I haven't given him this as much space to really think about what he wants when I'm overlaying what I think is best for him.
Yeah. And even to make different decisions.
Mm-hmm. Well, and interestingly, I mean, this has been a huge year of like ups and downs and learning. And since I made that boundary and as part of kind of a family approach to him, it's not that he doesn't have challenges, but like he's been more at peace and making more of his own choices overall.
Yeah. So let's apply that to your clients now. How have you been doing them a disservice by being in the trenches with them?
Not letting them sort of sit in the struggle and as much and come to their truth. I mean, it's a little bit harder with the clients than it is with my brother, to make that. But there's something about letting them struggle and not feeling like it's my fault.
Why is that important for them to let them struggle?
Because they know best.
Yeah.
They really do. and they know what feels right to them. They know, and they, I think this is the thing, for them to truly birth the new work that comes from their own journey and story, it's going to require being in the struggle well beyond the container that we're in.
Mm. I want you to go back and write those words down from the recording.
Yeah.
So important, Kara, right? The struggle actually deepens their story.
Yeah.
It brings more meaning and importance to the story. There's something, just like you've struggled in writing your story, like that experience was so valuable for the story. It's actually part of writing the story.
Yeah.
And as the teacher, the coach, you're going to make it easier for them than it was for you, but you don't want to take that gift away from them of the journey of writing the story.
Mm-hmm. And I want to be using the container to build their courage muscle and their capacity to be in struggle when I'm not involved.
Yes, exactly. Resilience, right? Because there are going to be other places in their business. I always think that, like, as a when I'm doing business coaching, like, I want to support a client to get A, B, and C done, but I also want to, part of the container is giving them the resilience to learn how to do things on their own in different ways too. Yeah. Beautiful. So how is all of this feeling so far?
Good. I'm really resonating with the deepening of story, the work, and the courage through the process. And that, I mean, I'm midway through a program right now. Like, in my next group, I can talk about all of this.
That's what I was going to say. Like, strategically, you want to preframe. Like, first of all, you want to say, the inner work that we do in the beginning is, it's still hard, but it's going to, like, be more fun. It's going to be more of a party. And then what can often happens for people when we get to the point of writing is a lot of freak out, a lot of struggle, like, just name it and normalize it first, right? This is normal. And as it should be. If you are in the struggle, now, if you're not in the struggle, that's great. Don't try to bring yourself in. But if you are in, it actually lets me know that you're present and you're working through it, mm-hmm. right? Like, just, and then share all the other things that came through over the last few minutes. And then let them know how you're going to be showing up for them. Right? Say, you know, my impulse is to want to jump in and be in the trenches with you and do it for you and, like, all the things, but I know that's not what's going to serve you.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead, this is how I am going to be supporting you so that you can get all the pieces you need from this experience.
Yeah. One question arises around, like, I know you used to teach your sacred business, right? And there were a lot of these sort of output pieces involved, like your message and sales page and whatnot. And at some point you switched to recordings of that. Like, what was the mentality that you had when you then, like, okay, here's the recordings, you figure it out. 'Cause I'm wondering if there's part of my program I can put into recording.
Yeah. So that's a different conversation. Like, I'll tell you really now, but it's something that we would want to think through more.
Yeah.
I used to just teach your sacred business live as a group program live and then have Q&A sessions and support people through it. At some point years ago, we switched. I was getting sick of teaching the same thing over and over again. And so at some point we just took the recordings and they turned into a drip every other week. Mm-hmm. But I had team coaches that were doing private calls, and then I was still doing the Q&A.
Right.
So that was a little bit about me changing my business model. And also, as I was pivoting to doing more training, skills coach training and skills training and all of that, but that's totally something that you could shift to. But I would still recommend having Q&A calls or work sessions or something like that in there.
Great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And just last piece, I know you're halfway through right now. That doesn't mean that you don't have to stay the course and be in the trenches fully with them. Like, practice pulling out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, good. Thank you. You've got some comments in the chat, and this is like the work that Kara and I just did. I think it applies to all of us, right? I sometimes tend to take over responsibility too. Whether it's with clients or in your life, just take a moment and note for yourself, like, what are you learning from the work that Kara just did that can be applied for you? And if you want to share in the chat too, that would be great. Dina.
Hey, Joanna. So I almost feel silly that this is what I'm going to speak into, but it's just so present for me. It's been present. And when you led the moon kind of meditation earlier, it came up again. So I just have to speak into it. I am really struggling with creating work containers for myself and getting stuff done in my business. And as I've kind of been reflecting deeper into this, I'm realizing that, like, you know, I had the day job and then I was able to like fit the work in when I fit it in. And then I, you know, that stopped when COVID happened and then I was on unemployment and then I had really spacious containers. And then I found maybe a little bit of a rhythm where it was like, you know, like I found a rhythm and fell out, found. And then I met a guy who was furloughed. So then we were basically just hanging out 24/7 and I had no rhythm and I would, you know, so I was in maintenance mode for my business. And I let that be because I was actually like calling in conscious partnership and he's since gone back to work. So it actually worked out. We had those 6 weeks to really deepen a connection. And now I'm just, you know, back to like, he does his thing during the week and he comes down on the weekends and weekends were always a time when, you know, I would like get a solid time and I don't know. So I'm now back to this, like, wow, I'm not like, it's embarrassing to say that, like, I'm in maintenance mode. Like, I have my clients, I have the classes and the moon circle. So it's like, of course I show up for them. Of course I prep for that. That's all fine. But like to grow my business and actually do this launch, like, it's like 3 p.m. and I'm still like eating breakfast and like watching Netflix. And it's always like, I'll do it later. So like this, I just am speaking into it because there is shame around it. So I just want to call it out. But what I did kind of pivot and notice, it's like, well, what does work? What has worked? And it's so funny because I am in another container that's like a kind of like masterminding launch thing. And it's like right before our calls, I get into gear. And right after I get into gear. And then like the week opens up again and we set goals. And then, so it's like, I guess my thing is like when I have deadlines that there is some sort of accountability to, I show up and I get it done. So it's like, if I schedule a call with a client, I'm not going to bail on that or a group. So now it's just like, how can I translate that for myself? And this is what I'm asking myself. Cause it needs like, it's just so much resistance that I want it to feel like easy and joyful. Cause I'm excited when I like have stuff done and I'm like, yay, that feels so good that I'm accomplished. And, but yeah, so I'm just trying to get into a space where it's like, I actually like sit down and do like, you know, like 4 hours of work, like the creative work's no problem, but it's the actual nitty gritty, like finishing that sales page and reaching out and doing those sales calls and like planning the webinar. So it's like, something's happening.
I hear you. I hear you. And you're not alone. Like there are a lot of people that fall into exactly where you're at. And like, we could do inner work and look at the pieces and all the things, but actually what I've found is that's like, that is helpful, but what's actually more helpful is to find like a strategy that's going to work and just see if you can keep on working it. So one thing that comes to mind is, I was going to ask you a bunch of things. practice and strategies. Are you actually writing in your calendar your action step blueprints? Like, I have in my calendar 9 to 10, write my newsletter article. Mm-mm. 10 to 11, outreach, blah, 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 blah. 11 to 12, blah, 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 blah. No?
Yeah, when I have that, I'm better. There's still some resistance, but I'm like much better, of course. But so, yeah, so it's like I'm not creating deadlines.
So I want to invite you to take a half hour, 40 minutes to actually set that out and put it into your calendar. That's number one. It's not foolproof at all, but you just said it helps a bit. And so let's do that, right? That's number one. Get it into your calendar, because when you see it in your calendar, it's a little harder to watch Netflix, because it's like, oh shit, that it's like right there in my calendar, and not just work, but do this thing, right? Mm-hmm. So I'd love for you today, like after this call, to set that up for yourself for the next week, like the next 5 business days, really get the different action steps onto your calendar. Another thing that is oftentimes helpful is to have a get it done partner, like to co-work. So we'll do one co-working session a month here together, but that's only, you know, an hour and a half once a month. Do you have anybody, and there may be somebody else in this group, by the way, if anybody is resonating with what Dave is talking about and wants to do some co-working sessions. And what that really is like you get on Zoom with the person for an hour. You don't even have to talk. Just at the beginning, say, this is what I want to get done this hour. And the other, your partner will say, this is what I want to get done this hour. It could be 4 people, whatever it is. And then maybe you just check in 30 minutes in for 2 minutes to see how it's going. But you like stay on the Zoom the whole time. Already Bryn is saying she's up for it. And is saying she's up for it. I want you guys to connect. Don't underestimate co-working. It can be a very powerful thing if you are somebody who has trouble like just doing it and getting it done. Lissa, it looks like you've got people to reach out to there, Dana. So that's what I would recommend for next steps. Yeah?
Yes. I'm on my phone right now. So I'm just seeing the chat come up. So I'm writing down the names of the
what I would say is start a post in the Facebook group today. And guys, look out for that post in the Facebook group and then you can organize.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like blows my mind that it's what, like, why am I struggling? Why is this so hard for me? I don't know.
It's hard. I would spend less time figuring out why it's so hard and feeling the shame and more time because it's so normal and part of human nature and just more effort in putting some strategies in place. Anne's calling it parallel play. I love that. You can all parallel play together.
Awesome. All right.
Okay. Well, good. So glad you brought that up. Anne.
Actually, I was like, before I forget, I'm just going to go put that post in. Wanted to follow up on something from the last call, which was I had asked for help knowing how to deal with a client who does a lot of like pressured verbal vomit. And I was working with her last night. It went really well. You know, just like I was coached here, laid it out like, hey, I've noticed this is a dynamic. And I think sometimes it keeps us from getting to some of the work that you really want to be doing. And she was like, oh my God, absolutely. I do this everywhere. Here's where it comes from in my personal life, my professional life. And I don't know that I know how to stop myself. So just go like this and I'll shut up. And it worked really, really well. And she was really open to it. And it let us spend time on the work that really needed to be done. So there's a piece for me personally and a piece for me professionally. So professionally, and I think they may be linked, like what a surprise that would be, right? I have difficulty managing time within sessions. I feel like that's the rustiest part that hasn't got to kind of a ground down, refined place again from having not been in the flow with client work for so long. And I find my sessions go really long because I really want to get this piece finished. I really want to get this thing done. And then, you know, we're over time and mostly people don't mind. And mostly right now, that's not a huge problem. But I can see where as I begin to really fill my schedule, that is going to be a problem. And I feel like I lost my ability to just be like, okay, we just need to bracket this and work on that next time, which is also, I think, related to, for me, the Advanced Depths retreat was super impactful, and it's been a wild ride since those 2 days in a good way. But the things that I'm seeing that I need to do, you know, for deep kind of personal restoration, I see this dynamic with my clients that I have right now, which is they'll get, that's the thing that I need to do. Like, if I can do that one thing, it will all fall into place. But then until that one thing becomes automatic, it's like it pushes everything else out and all the other priorities get shortchanged. And I'm at a loss for how I'm going to help my clients get unstuck with that, because I'm at a loss for how to get myself unstuck with that. Like, I'm kicking ass with embracing, you know, my inhabiting my physical body these last, you know, few days, and like everything else is just going to hell in a handbasket. So what's best practice stuff for getting the structures back in besides scheduling things in my calendar? Cause that right now is like, oh, I'd have to remember to look at my calendar. Yeah.
I hear you. First of all, I just want to say the more that you practice, more you're back with clients, I really trust that you're going to get more efficient, so long as you don't get attached to outcome on what you need to accomplish.
That's it.
Okay. So yeah, that's really important. In terms of this piece that you're talking about, first, I just want to share, and this is actually a part of human nature. When we are birthing, think to childbirth, you've birthed a baby. Mm-hmm. When we are actively birthing a baby, it is also very hard to, you know, be like tending to all the other babies, right? It's
all consuming.
On purpose, right? Now, of course, a new habit in our adult lives with lots going on, like, realistically can't be all consuming, right? Because we have things that we have to take care of. But I do point it out to say that it's supposed to take up space. It's like protective, right? That's what protects a new birth is like. So we have to focus on it so that it comes out, right? All the things. So I want to first just normalize that when you're bringing a new habit into being, it can take up. It is possible that it's going to take up a lot of space, and it should be as such. My hope for you, as well as for your clients, there's more we'll talk about, but just the normalization can help, right? Because then it's not the stress or the shame or the whatever of, oh my gosh, this is taking so much time. Like, this is how it should be. So first, let me pause there and let me ask, what's landing for you around that?
That it's a really impactful metaphor. I actually used to work around birth, and I'm still a birth geek, even though I don't work in it anymore. It's really helpful for me in creating context that the most important thing for me, like this week at least, is birthing what began gestating during the somatics workshop. Because that for me is the key to unlocking all of the other things that have been, you know, locked up and in a state of arrested development. relating it to the labor and birthing process, it's helping to remind me that this is a finite thing.
Yeah.
That it's not going to be like remembering to care for myself in this way is going to be all consuming forever. And there's a place during labor, you know, when you're out of time, you're outside of time, and you don't have a sense of how long you've been in it and how much longer it's going to go. But then, you know, as you reach transition, as you get into that pushing phase, you know that the timeline is shrinking. And so for me, that gives me something to kind of look for, like, okay, look for hitting transition doubt.
Yes.
That means I'm in the home stretch.
Yes, yes.
And that's where I may not yet be able to discern what the next thing is that I can put that kind of intense focus on, but at least gives me a sense, you know, life-wise of where can I maybe start to bookmark time for that introspection and to tune into what that cycle is. So it's hugely helpful. And it's actually kind of interesting because one of my clients, part of her goal is to have a baby before it's too late.
So that's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then just the other piece you started to speak to it that I'll extend even more is like, just when we know that we're going to have a baby, most of us strategize, right? So, okay, I know that I'm going to ask such and such and such and such to make meals for a week because I'm not going to be able to make meals for myself. I know, right? So, I mean, you know, you may not take a full maternity leave from, you know, your responsibilities, but you can strategize and you can do that with clients. Like when something drops in, like it did for you last week, and it's this like clear thing and it's this commitment that you want to, you know, something that you want to birth, also strategize a little around it to ease that.
Yeah, and I can see where I can shift the conversation. Like I've already been having different conversations with the other family members in my household about, you know, picking up the slack and me not stepping in to fill the gaps. There's a place where we can have a conversation as a household that bringing this business back into an existence in this new form, in this rebirth, is very much like adding another child to the household, and that's not going to go away.
Yeah.
So if there were another child in the household, how would you shift your thinking around supporting me in what I need to care for? And I think that's something that they may be able to get their arms around differently and make my life easier in not having to put as much of the mental energy into like helping them know what to do.
Yeah. 100%. And just like a baby benefits everybody in the family, this new baby is going to benefit everybody in the family as well. So there's more investment than in working with it.
Beautiful. Yeah. I have a note for myself to put into kind of like each week, or maybe not each week, but each kind of beginning of each reevaluation period, what are you birthing? So that I can
I love it.
Think of it that way. So this is really powerful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're so welcome. Good. Laura.
Hello. My question is about facilitating specifically. So I'm launching my program in 2 weeks, but before that, the weekend prior, I'll be leading a retreat for another organization. So it's 2 days and it's virtual. It was going to be in person, but we went online, and it's about 30 women total so far. So originally I was going to be leading the entire retreat in California. So we changed the format. Now I'm going to be opening the retreat, and I'm going to be closing the retreat the next day. And I have an hour for each spot. Okay. And then in between there, there'll be 5 other speakers.
Okay.
So I'm kind of opening the journey
uh-huh.
with very little time. Yeah. Right. So I think my question is around, I have a sense of, you know, how I want to begin the journey. And I guess I'm curious, are there pieces, because there's 30 people, I've never facilitated that many people at the same time. I think the largest group I've been, I think it's been 12, maybe the most I've facilitated. So of course I want to open, and I'm going to open with a meditation. I'm going to help them ground in and really settle in. And this is a group of women who are special needs moms. So they are really coming to get away from it all. They're not, you know, they What's are coming the
purpose? For peace. Remind me again the purpose of the retreat.
Honestly, it's for the moms to get away and have their own sense of self-care, peace. Like it's almost like she's calling it, yes, you can do hard things. Mm-hmm. And my specific talk is called Carry On With Courage, because I'm tying it into my program. So I'm taking a piece of my program and bringing it into this.
Yep.
Specifically the technical pieces of facilitating, are there anything in that amount of time? Like I see it as I'll open up and ground. I would really love to still have everybody be able to say their full name and hear their voice and everyone hear each other's voice. But as far as time, I don't know that we would have time to go around and everyone share an intention. So then my thought was they could type their intention in the chat, and then I could ask them to light a candle and we could set the circle.
Yeah. I think you're totally on the right track. I'm just going to fill in a couple of things. Yeah. So grounding, and then before naming, intention, all of that, you just want to speak a little bit to activate vision and inspiration for the retreat as a whole. You know, why this is so important, remind them why they're there, get them connected to their why, all of that, because your program is around courage. You know, you can slip some of that in there as well. Like really, you know, you may even tell a short personal story, but you, I would speak 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes to really bring them forward. And then from there, I'm just thinking for, you know, cause you have an hour, like the best you can do. I would ask a couple of journaling questions around like, why are they there? Again, maybe slip the courage question into, to want, you know, that kind of thing. If you want, if it's on Zoom, you could divide them into groups of two, first to just like speak through the things a little bit more, and then everybody can come back together with maybe their name and a one word intention. But you'd have to really, I find it harder to time shares on Zoom than when I'm actually in the room with people. Like I was last week in our opening, it was great. Everybody shared so much, but I was definitely struggling to like keep people on track, you know, and when to, so, but if you can just be really, really clear, like your name and one word intention, you know, and so all of that, I think by the time you're done, that will get you to about 35, 40 minutes. And you may have time at that point, maybe for like one little exercise that you would like to do.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, great. That helps a lot. Because I think I had some things turned around, so that helps.
And I don't know if this is possible, but if I were you, I would push to try to get 90 minutes up front instead of 60 for the opening. Cause you have a lot of work to do with this, with the opening, you know?
Yeah.
So you can convince them that way, you'll have time for a full exercise afterwards.
Yeah. Well, and then after, on the end, the closing, you know, they'll have now gone through a journey of 5 speakers. And so I have a sense that I want to have them kind of bring it all full circle, even though it's all of this different material, but bring it full circle for themselves. But also I'm wanting to get them into their body and activate.
Yeah, I was going to say, think about possibly a ritual or a ceremony for that last hour, you know, something that will integrate everything they've learned. Maybe they create like an object with a big intention coming out of the retreat. Maybe there's also part of that ceremony is to release now that they've been through all this, what is it that they're leaving behind? But I would almost think about a ceremony or a ritual for them to do.
Beautiful. Okay. Oh, and one more little piece. I do have two spots left in my program. And so she said, absolutely, please share. Even though mine launches 4 days later, even if someone couldn't make that decision in that amount of time and they missed the kickoff call, the next call doesn't start till October 12th.
Great. No, it's great timing for you to be able to do that. I would mention it at the beginning so that they have time. And then I would be very active in the chat throughout, like really have your, be present throughout. Don't just like show up and then slip away and show up in the end.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you. That helps.
You're welcome. Great. Good, good, good. And Bob. You there, Inbal? Oh, there you are. But I can't hear you.
Thank you. My question, so last week I shared about like what I should do for a preview presentation, and really my, you know, I wanted to do something seasonal, and I was also thinking, we were talking last week about maybe doing something that had like three parts. Anyway, I'm just not feeling inspired or clear about anything. So I'm still wrapping up this consultancy like this month, but it's not major work, but it's like I'm still doing so much like catching up in terms of client admin and all of these things that I kind of let slide. But yeah, I'm just not that jazzed about anything that I can think of to offer. And I had this whole idea about like doing something like in the beginning of October. And yeah, and part of it is that I just, there's too much going on. And I also, yeah, I don't really know what to focus on. And I don't really want to market, which is like ridiculous, you know? So
I hear you. So tell me if I'm getting this right. I feel like there's the regular, I don't want to market thing going on. Like, yeah, that's just there. But what I'm hearing is that even though the consultancy is coming to an end, there's still like a lot, you still have a lot of other responsibilities happening right now. And it almost feels to me, and I might be making this up, so tell me if this resonates, but it almost feels to me like you're saying like you need a little bit of space in order to get inspired to put yourself out there. And you actually like haven't, not only have you not had that space yet, but you actually are still actively in doing a lot of stuff. Am I getting that right?
Yeah.
Once the consultancy is over, or once you get through the catch up on the admin stuff with the clients, do you feel like you're gonna have space / give yourself space?
Yeah.
So I don't want to kind of oversimplify this, you tell me, but I mean, to me, it sounds like you just need to give yourself the space before jumping into marketing a preview call right now. It's hard to create and be inspired and be motivated when you're like exhausted and in catch-up mode on other things.
Yeah, and I didn't, it's, Yeah, I think, you know, I thought I would be in a different place. And so, you know, it's hard to not be in a space of like, this keeps happening.
Right. That's the, like, that's the thing. Well, we know the consultancy isn't going to happen, right? That's
gonna it's for sure ending.
Yeah. So what if, and again, I don't want to push off something if it's because you're in resistance to it. So you know best, but I am wondering if you look at your calendar and you like assign a date by which you know you'll be caught up with admin and put like time on the calendar to be in creativity and inquiry around your marketing plan and your preview.
Okay.
Yeah, because I just feel like if you're in, you know, in the middle of all of this, it's not gonna, you're not gonna get there. The other piece is you were talking, you can tell me if this resonates, but just to not, how do I want to say this? It's not myth of perfection, but the preview doesn't have to be the end all be all. It just has to be another preview, another preview that you're doing. Obviously you want to feel good about it and excited about it, but it doesn't have to be the end all be all.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I don't even know like what I want to talk about. Like I'm not jazzed about anything and it feels like, yeah, there's just still like, I'm still trying to like wrap up so many threads. And there's just so many drains and I don't sleep well. So
it's just, why I'm resisting, like, cause there's a part of me that wants to go in and look at why aren't you getting excited and all of that. But I don't even think you're in the space for that yet. Like I think it's, organize your time and your space, like give yourself space. And then the next piece can happen.
And is there anything, so what can I do like in the meanwhile? Like in terms of like getting, in terms of like moving forward in some ways that could actually be more beneficial than in terms of bringing in new clients, mm-hmm. like one-on-one outreach?
Absolutely. So go back to basics, see who you could reach out to, either clients that you haven't worked with for a while or, you know, people that have been hanging around or whatever it is. I know you've got a couple of people you can put on that list. I think that would be really great. You can put yourself out there on social media if you want. I know you've got push-pull on that, but you know, a post here and there can't hurt. And if you remember, as you just go through all of your client sessions over the next few weeks, if you have any really like cool, juicy conversations with someone or, you know, like around a topic that you're like, any ideal client would love that topic, just make a note of it because that might be the preview.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. This is, you know, I say this to myself as much as I say this to Inbal and all of you here in this life that is so busy with so many things going on. And all of you know this, but it's so easy to forget how important space is and how we need it to create and to move forward. Shamet.
Hi. Hi. I'm in a really, really great space. I went for the priestess and changed everything and really stepped into feeling the fear and doing it anyway and going for it, and everything has just fallen into place, and I'm really excited and feel really happy. And yeah, and everything with my husband and my family and the kid, like everything's just really good. So I'm so happy. So now I'm in the space of figuring out the logistics of it. So I've put a wait list so people can wait list for my priestess training. And yeah, it's exciting. So, but what's coming up for me now is I've never done this before, obviously. I've always done a 7-week journey through the chakras, you know, 7 weeks through the manifesting, or 7 weeks I'm doing now in the middle of doing the sacred, awakening the sacred centers, and at that 7 weeks. But with the priestess training, I know it needs to be 7 months or even a year. Like it's a longer, more involved process. So I'm trying to figure out how to go from a 7-week program to a 7-month program, because obviously then the price is different. And I'm just, you know, I'm in the process of giving birth, so I'm still really pregnant with all the ideas of how to do that. And yeah, I'm having some self-worth stuff come up too, because obviously it's a higher price point. And then how do I take this more global? Because right now the clients that I have are my clients from New Zealand, and they're used to paying New Zealand prices. And yeah, so I don't know exactly what my question is. Hang on, let me look what I wrote down. Anyways, it's really good. Like there's a lot of movement. I'm feeling excited. I have a lot of energy. I know I'm on the right path, doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing, and everything is just humming. And I'm so excited. So I've got the wait list up there, I guess. And I've started to, you know, meditate and download what's going to be involved. So I'm in the process of doing all of that. I guess perhaps my question is, when do I need to let people know the details of what's involved, what the prices are, or can I just have it sit there as a wait list and have people start trickling in?
Absolutely. I'm feedback. Do you have a headset? Because I'm hearing an echo when I speak.
Oh, I don't. Do I need to get a headset? Do you have one in?
I don't right now. It's not, doesn't create, I don't know. Anyway, I don't hear myself now. It's fine.
Okay. Is there a really big echo?
Not anymore.
It's okay. Maybe I just need to come closer to the computer.
So you can let the wait list, you can let people come into the wait list. You're not, and you don't have to name prices or anything. You can collect the wait list. What your work is right now is two things. Number one, to get clear on what the program is. So I know you know what it's about in 7 months, but what, maybe name a module a month, right? Like what are the 7 topics? So just to begin to understand what this program is more.
Yeah.
Then your other piece of work is to get clear on what's the messaging for this program. Why would your ideal client really want to step into this? Why do they need this? What are the results that are going to be created? Why is this exactly, you know, for this person? And to start to work through some of that. And then the idea is to start messaging before you even say, this is the program, this is how much it costs. Once you're clear on the what the program is, and then the messaging, you might write an article about it, right? Or
that today.
Awesome, right? Or just start to share information about what it means to be a priestess, right? Why, right? All of that. And then from there, invite those people on the wait list. And you'll invite other people too, for sure, the other marketing role, but since we're just talking about the wait list, into a conversation with you. And in that conversation, have you listened to the enrollment conversation workshop yet?
Yet, I haven't yet.
At some point, listen to that. In those one-on-one conversations, you'll activate their gap, you'll activate their vision. And then from there, you'll share about the program. You can share about the pricing, all of that then. But you want people invested energetically first before you just give a price point. You want them to see what's in it for them. You want to create desire before you say, and here's this big price, you know, this big money investment.
Yeah.
So you want to go through those.
It's also been really interesting because a friend of mine told me about this site and said, can you vote for me? And then I voted for her and then I found it. And then I was like, oh my God, I'm supposed to be on here. Why aren't I on here? And oh my God, I'm supposed to be on here. Like I got really quite intense about the whole thing. And then I realized on the page that you could, you know, submit your material to be on there. So I did that and it was at midnight. It was really late, but I got really obsessed about it. So I sent the girl all my information. She put me up in 5 minutes. All of a sudden I was up there, and Joanna, you know, my issue about being seen.
I know.
All of a sudden.
Yeah. So well done. I'm so happy to hear it.
Oh my God.
And the more you sink into the message and really your passion for the message, the easier I think it's going to be, because you're already in process there. So really, really well done. Yay.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. So what else do I do? I just keep.
That's, I don't want to give you any more information for now. Those are your next steps.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. We are at time. Thank you everybody for your energy and all that you brought to the call today. If you can hang on for 10 more seconds, write down action steps. What are 1 to 3 action steps that you know you want to take based on everything that came through the call today, or maybe you already knew before the call? What is it that you want to commit to? I'd love for you to post it in the Facebook group. I'll start a thread if you want to just be seen in it and be held accountable to it. I love that we have some co-working things that are going to get going. If you know you need that, you know, chime in on that post. And of course, if you need anything from me in between sessions, post in the Facebook group. I'm so happy to support. Sending you all a lot of love. When we meet next, we're going to have our first practicum. Can't wait. So enjoy the rest of your day, and I will talk to you soon. Bye.